This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Crop insurance has become an important piece of the puzzle for today's farms. So why not let the professionals at Farm Credit Services of Illinois show you how crop insurance can be a good fit for your operation. Learn the ins and outs about today's coverage plans, acceptable replant options, and preventative planting guidelines. Plus the latest information on changes to the federal crop insurance program. You get up-to-date information on your policy coverage, delivered by professionals who know farming and the benefits crop insurance can provide. There's a lot to know about crop insurance, and Farm Credit delivers the best value for your premium dollar. For information on crop insurance coverage for your farm, call us today at 800-444-FARM. That's 800-444-FARM. Crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois. It's a good fit.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment. Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
First of all, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, March wheat trading at 780 and a half, up 1 1/4. May wheat trading at 790 and a quarter, up 1 3/4. March corn trading at 729 and a quarter, up 3/4. May corn trading at 731, up 3/4. March soybeans trading at 1452 and a half, up 3/4. May beans trading at 1441, up 1 3/4. The overnight crude oil market, 6 cents higher at 96.74. The Brent crude, 4 cents lower at 112.38. The February gold contract, $1.20 lower at $1,692. The U.S. dollar index, 0.124 lower at 79.75. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat ended the day at 779 and a quarter, down 12. May wheat ended at 788 and a half, down 11 and a quarter. July wheat ended at 793 and a quarter, down 11 and a quarter. March corn yesterday ended at 728 and a half, up 1. May corn ended at 730 and a quarter, up 1. July corn ended at 722 and a quarter, up 3/4. March soybeans yesterday ended at 1451 and 3/4, up 22 and a half. May beans ended at 1439 and a quarter, up 22 and a half. July beans ended at 1430 and 3/4, up 20 and 3/4. March soybean meal yesterday ended at 421.60, up 72. May meal ended at 415.80, up 73. July meal ended at 410.30, up 59. March soybean oil yesterday ended at 52.43, up 75. May oil ended at 52.79, up 72. July oil ended at 53.05, up 72. March oats yesterday ended at 3.59, up 3.5. May oats ended at 3.65, up 3 3/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices did end mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Export news helped to lift soybean values as weekly export inspection figures were higher than expected at 48.1 million bushels. Also helping to support stronger soybean prices was the announcement of the sale of 120,000 tons of U.S. soybeans to China. Lower-than-expected wheat export figures weighed on wheat values. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shale corn bids steady to a penny higher at 712 to 735. Soybeans were up 22 to 23 cents at 1441 to 1461. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shale corn bids steady to a penny higher at 722 to 739, and soybeans gained 22 cents at 1454 to 1467. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were a penny higher at 713 to 753. Soybeans advanced 20 to 26 cents at 1472 to 1489, while wheat prices dropped 12 cents at 768 to 789. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were up 22 to 27 cents at 1482 to 1492. Basis ended steady to 5 cents higher, ranged from 30 to 40 over the March. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis gained $7.20 a ton, ranging from $4.37.60 to $4.46.60. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained a penny at $7.33 to $7.52. Basis ended steady, ranging from 5 to 24 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids steady to a penny higher at $7.28 to $7.30, with basis ending steady to a penny lower at option to 2 over the March. Soybean prices gained 17 to 20 cents at 1485 to 1493, with basis ending 2 to 5 cents lower at 33 to 41 over the March. New crop wheat prices for July 13 delivery gained 2 to 5 cents at 768 to 781, with basis gaining 13 to 16 cents, ranging from 25 to 12 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 1 to 3 higher at 728 to 733. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 16 to 25 cents, with quotations at 1504 to 1505. Soft red winter wheat down a dime at 795 to 796, while Milo ended 2 cents higher at 714 to 715. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers range from 545 up to 562. New crop soybeans at 1258 to 1278. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 551 to 568. New crop beans at 1272 to 1288. And in the southern part of the state, new crop bids for corn 545 up to 574. New crop beans range from 1273 to 1293. And the new crop wheat for July 13 delivery, those bids range from 750 up to 775. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. February hogs ended at 85.70, up 35. April hogs ended at 88.27, up 20. May hogs ended at 95.20, up a half dollar. February cattle yesterday, 125.72, up 77. April cattle, 130.47, up 65. June cattle, 126.52, up 27. January feeder cattle yesterday ended at 144.40, up a half dollar. March feeders, 147, up 65. April feeders, 149.65, up 80. Right now, once again, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
Thank you, and this is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded $1.80 lower. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of $80.97 to $83.11, with a weighted average carcass price of $81. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, sows traded mostly steady with light to moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. Beginning with the U.S. 1 and 3 grade under 400 pounds, they were 38 to 41. The 4 to 5 weights, 39 to 45. The 5 to 550 weights, at 43 to 46. And 550 and up, 45 to 47. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts, country buying points, traded steady, ranging in price from 54 to 58. On to United Producers at Shelbyville. They had an opening report of receipts of 325 head and compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers traded $4 lower. Slaughter Holstein steers were trading a dollar higher. Starting with the slaughter steers, they were bringing 121 to 127. Slaughter Holstein steers, twos and threes, were 112 to 115. And slaughter heifers were at 120 to 125.75. From Hamilton-Madison County Hay Auction, they showed receipts of 3,834 bales. And starting with the alfalfa premium quality small squares, They were bringing $6.30 to $7 with large squares at 191 to 121. Good quality small squares sold at $5 with large rounds at 70. Fair quality small squares were selling from 280 to 290, and alfalfa orchard grass premium quality small squares were trading in the range of $5.30 up to $10 with large squares at 86. Premium quality small squares were trading at $4.90 to $6.70. Moving on to orchard grass, premium quality small squares traded at $6.10 to $7.50, and wheat straw good quality small squares at $1.60 to $2.10. Now from the Arthur Sale Barn Weekly Hay Report, alfalfa premium quality small squares sold from $6 to $7.50, large squares at $110, and good quality small squares at $4.50 to $5.75, with the large squares at $77 to $88. Alfalfa orchard premium quality small squares sold for $7.50 to $8. Alfalfa mixed grass good quality small squares range from $5.25 to $5.50. Orchard grass good quality small squares traded for $4.25 to $5.75. Canary grass good quality large squares traded at $72.50, and wheat straw good quality small squares $1.85 to $2.50. Now on to the National Car Lot Pork Report. Trading was moderate with only 123 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $84.86, which is $1.23 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values of choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were at $190.59, which was 75 cents higher, and select carcasses at $183.90, which was 129 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection for Tuesday, slaughter cattle were estimated at 126,000 compared to 128,000 for last week and 124,000 for a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 429,000, which compared to 431,000 last week and 424,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from yesterday: for butter, 150 and a half unchanged; for block cheese, 166 down 2 3/4; for barrel cheese, 160 down 3 3/4. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Tuesday, 1810. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $7.35. For February, $7.39. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, $7.27. For February, $7.31. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January, $14.80. And for February, $14.74. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.60. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again: corn at Greenfield, $7.35, corn at Scottville, $7.27, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.80, wheat at Scottville, $7.60. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show. It's 6:21 on this Wednesday morning. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Hi, I am Greg Urey from M&M Service Company. You don't need to tell me that farming is a difficult business. What you need are the experts at M&M Service Company. For all your agronomic needs, to fuel, propane, and agri-financing, M&M Service Company is your one-stop shop. Our team is knowledgeable about every aspect of your farming operation and can make farming a whole lot easier. Call your local M&M Service Company office at Macoupin, Madison, or Montgomery County today and find out how our team can help you make the business of farming easier. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois today, partly cloudy skies, high temperatures in the upper 30s and light west winds. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low in the mid-teens. Tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy and colder, the high in the mid-20s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday: partly cloudy with a chance of flurries on Friday, a mix of snow or rain possible on Sunday. Low temperatures in the low 20s, highs in the low 30s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 10 degrees. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Hello, this is Earl Flack with McKay Napa Auto Parts Store. It's cold outside, and right now your battery just may not be cranking just right. If you need it checked, stop by McKay Napa Auto Parts Store, Auto Care Center, Independent Shop, and have that baby checked today.
See any of the 18 area McKay Napa Auto Parts stores for batteries, wiper blades, spray de-icer, ice scrapers, diesel and gas fuel supplements, washer solvent, and antifreeze.
It's 6:23 on this Wednesday morning, part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Envirofoam of America and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. On Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. We went over the latest news in the grain trade, and he brought up the status of crops in South America.
We finished last week off with concerns about South America. Crops are in pretty good shape, but it had been pretty dry over the last 30 days. We had a lot of moisture from earlier in the year, but we were using it up. If this continued into early February, we're going to start seeing some real yield impact. And now we've come through a three-day holiday weekend. The two-week outlook looks into early February. The forecast is maybe a little warmer and drier than it was on Friday, and we're not looking at a three-day weekend ahead of us. And so the traders are a little more comfortable buying, and we're at pivotal points for corn and soybeans now, ready to break out of the top side of a bear channel that's contained the prices really since the beginning of harvest. And so all that's coming together to give us some strength, led by soybeans. Wheat also getting some concern, some support from sub-zero temperatures in a winter wheat belt, and very little snow cover in the drought in the plains.
Also, with the South American crop, their combines will hit the field about the middle of March, right?
Well, it depends on where you're at in South America. We actually saw the first 37,000-acre farm in Mato Grosso start harvest about the first week of February, actually I think the end of December. But when you look at significant quantities of soybeans reaching the ports, it's much later. And, of course, Argentina, where the drought is the biggest concern, yeah, they're in early pod set stage now. So it's like what we'd see here in mid to late July, depending on where you're at. So their harvest is going to be primarily March and April. Brazil really starts gaining momentum in February, but the harvest is taking place in the northern regions first and moves south. And the northern areas is where they're getting all their heavy rains now, since high pressure is over southern areas. And so the rains are delaying it, and then only about 15% of their roads are paved. So with all that rain, those roads are not good, and it takes a long time to move those soybeans to port.
Is there any chance that they're going to finally get around to improving their infrastructure down there so they can move commodities better around the country?
Brazil has made that commitment verbally and passed policies to do so. In fact, back in April, there was a five-year program for improving infrastructure that was approved. But in Brazil, even though it is a political priority, progress moves very slowly, and so it's going to take some time to happen. Many of the roads that have been made have been paid for by the farmers in order to make sure it happens.
You mentioned, I want to go back a little bit to the soybean crop in the vast majority of South America. It is at a critical point where it really needs moisture, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. We could still take a little bit of the cream off the corn crop, but it's the soybean crop that's most vulnerable, particularly southern Brazil and in Argentina. Not looking like at a short crop like we had last year where the drought started much sooner, but it could still have a significant impact at a time when global supplies are very, very tight.
And that'll be a big factor later on, won't it?
Well, it really will. And the question right now is whether we have enough soybeans to get us to our harvest, even if the export market switches to South America. And then will Brazil and Argentina have enough soybeans to get the world through to our harvest as well on the global trade side? So we're going to remain tight. It's going to take us a few years to try to rebuild these tight stocks after back-to-back droughts in South America and U.S. last year.
And like what we've said before, droughts always have long tails.
And we've still got a big drought in the central and western Midwest as well.
That was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau recently talked to a member of the Staunton FFA alumni about their upcoming dinner and auction, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI as we talk with Roger Desmond about the Staunton FFA alumni, their dinner auction coming up February the 2nd. And Roger, we talk about that day. It's pretty special because you guys, when you started this, decided that Groundhog's Day would be a good time of year to have this event.
Yeah, we picked this event or this date because it's a month after Christmas, and you're kind of getting a little bit of cabin fever, even though we've had some pretty decent weather this winter. But most winters, you're stuck inside, can't get out. We just decided the Groundhog Day would be a good day to celebrate, and so far it's worked out well. We've had a good crowd, and everything's really went good. This year, it's the same thing on Groundhog's Day. The doors open at 4 o'clock, and this year, I think we're going to have Sunday's Best Caterer, and he's always done us a real good job. When you get there, look around a little bit on the bucket auction and see what you want to see what you might be interested in there, and then I think you're going to be able to go in and eat anytime you want to. You can eat then or later on or however you want to do it, and it'll be a fun evening again.
It's so much work for the FFA alumni. You guys get there, and you work really on this the whole year, but helping you throughout the day, the FFA students, so they pitch in as well.
Oh, right. They're out at the high school, and I've heard they're making fire rings this year, and I heard they're making deer stands, and I know they're going to make some furniture. I think there's a bed and some other stuff. I know last year they made a gun cabinet that I think would give Broyhill a good run for their money. Mm-hmm. So they're it's amazing. I know when I was in high school, I was lucky if I could make a hog trough, let alone a bookcase or something like that. So they've come a long ways.
As you mentioned earlier, you raise money for the association to help out the students. You mentioned some trips and also some college scholarships, and you've helped out a lot of students.
We try to, like I say, we've given almost $40,000 away in scholarships, and this year we'll be over $40,000.
So you mentioned their tickets go on sale. You're also, of course, still accepting donations. If someone wanted to donate for the auction, how do they do that?
They can get a hold of same thing, Barb Craner or Kathy Aarons. Either one is great, or even myself. We'll sure get it on the auction. Like I say, nothing's too big or too little. We've got a bucket raffle. The small items will be on that, and people just enjoy walking around. I mean, we'll put hats, and we have a group of girls that get together weeks before and start putting baskets together.
And it has become sort of a social event, as you mentioned, kind of everyone getting cabin fever, but groups of people come, and not only do they get to have dinner, but drinks too.
Oh, certainly, yeah. We have to have drinks. We're a German bunch, so, and we're farmers, so you know how that is. We hope to have a good time and hope everybody has a good time. And we do have seating reservations available, so like I say, give Kathy or Barb a call, and we'll sure get you in there.
I wanted to talk with you in a moment here about the college scholarships and helping these kids, because that's why you form the alumni and do what you do. I think it was in an interview a few years ago that you talked about, you know, for most people, it comes down to one moment in their life that decides their future, what they're going to do every day, their career. And for what you're doing here, you're offering lots of moments, lots of opportunities for these kids to decide.
Right. My eyes really got open too here a couple years ago when we took a trip to Monsanto. And I think a lot of kids that day, they had a lady come out before we left on the tour and give a speech about what they're looking for in who they choose to hire. Just like kids out having fun, and there's nothing wrong with that, everybody does it, but traffic tickets, they even look at traffic tickets. And if a student's been in FFA, they've really got a plus, a shoe-in. They look at that, and they look at the FFA kids as a special breed. They're used to having responsibility and be able to sell tickets and greet people in the public. They don't stand back, you know, and just look. They want to get out front and get something done. And that meant a lot. And with our support, well, we hope we can get more kids just a better job, you know, is our ultimate goal.
So closing comment or two and contact information again for the February 2nd Staunton FFA alumni dinner auction.
Well, we hope that you can get a seat. Like I say, get your tickets as soon as you can. Give Barb Craner a call at 618-637-4444 or Kathy Aarons at 618-459-3445, and we'll sure get you tickets, and I hope to see you there. I'll buy you a beer.
That was Rita Frazier talking to Roger Dustman of the Staunton FFA alumni. In other farm news this morning, these are challenging times in the pork industry. National Pork Board President Conley Nelson says that is reflected in the pork checkoff budget projections.
Looks like from a budgeting standpoint, our revenues are down from what we had anticipated, but also down is some of the expenses that we anticipated spending too. So that's kind of an offset program.
That Nelson, a pork producer and pork company executive at Algona, Iowa, says the outlook for pork producers is very dependent on domestic and international demand for pork.
You know, it's going to be a combination of, I think the volume will be there, and it's going to be whether we can get the price, that's going to be the issue, I believe. And we got to get that demand for pork. Exports are still doing well, and there's some potential signs that domestic per capita expenditures of pork here in the United States is doing well. So if we can keep those things going, hopefully we'll have the price for our pigs.
Nelson says the National Pork Board takes a conscientious approach to its responsibilities.
As a board, we're definitely committed to spending these checkoff dollars the best way we know how to get the most value for this industry's pork producers.
And for more information, go to www.pork.org. Live cattle prices fell to a two-month low, extending a sell-off after Cargill Incorporated unveiled plans last Thursday to close a major beef processing plant amid tight supplies. Cargill's decision to shut its Plainview, Texas plant is a sign of weakened demand for cattle in the face of record prices stemming from drought in the central United States. The American Farm Bureau Federation Board of Directors has established priorities for the organization's strategic action plan for 2013. Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman says the plan represents the issue areas where the board believes the Federation and its grassroots members will have real opportunities to achieve success. He says it also highlights challenges to tackle to help safeguard the ability of Farm Bureau members to operate their farms and ranches. Aggressively working to secure passage of legislation early in the year that addresses long and short-term ag labor needs is one priority of the Farm Bureau. According to a recent Farm Bureau economic analysis, $5 billion to $9 billion in annual production is in jeopardy if the employee shortage can't be filled. Mr. Stallman says comprehensive immigration reform through legislation is needed to solve the ag worker problem. Shireen Donaldson has been appointed National FFA Executive Secretary by the U.S. Department of Education. She is tasked with helping develop, implement, and manage policy for the National FFA organization. Her primary responsibilities will include issuing charters to state FFA associations as directed by the organization's National Board of Directors, keeping official membership records, tracking progress of the organization, and overseeing the reporting of state FFA associations to the board. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat now trading at 780 up 3/4, May wheat trading at 789 up a half, March corn now trading at 729 and 3/4 up 1 1/4, May corn now trading at 731 and 3/4 up 1 1/2, March soybeans trading at 1452 and a half up 3/4, May beans trading at 1441 and a quarter up 2. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau and by EnviroFoam of America.